ਸਾਡੀ ਤਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਆਪਸ ਦੀ ਖੜਕਦੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਖੜਕਦੀ ਕਿਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੈ? ਸਾਡੀ ਖੜਕਦੀ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਾਡੀਆਂ ਭੈਣਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਨੰਗਿਆ ਕਰਦਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨਾਲ, ਸਾਡੀ ਖੜਕਦੀ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਾਡੀਆਂ ਭੈਣਾਂ ਦੀ ਇੱਜ਼ਤ ਲੁੱਟਦਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨਾਲ, ਸਾਡੀ ਖੜਕਦੀ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਗ੍ਰੰਥਾਂ ਦੀ ਜੱਜ ਵੀ ਕਰਦਾ, ਇਹ ਖੜਕਦੀ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ। ਇਹਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਵੇਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕੇਗੀ ਜਦੋਂ ਤੱਕ ਉਹ ਇਹ ਕੰਮ ਬੰਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਗਏ। ਸੋ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਕੋਟ ਲਓ, ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਛਕੋ, ਰਹਿਤ ਰੱਖੋ ਤੇ ਚਾਰ ਪ੍ਰਚਾਰ ਹੋਵੋ।
Welcome to the Tent Kings Podcast. Mature audiences only. There's a lot of colorful language in this podcast and a lot of off-the-cuff, maybe offensive humor. So listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the first episode of Tent Kings Podcast. I am your host, G, with my co-host, Sarpanch. How are you doing today, Sarpanch Saab?
Good, man. It's good to be with you. I'm pumped to get this started. This is the inaugural podcast, and I'm excited. How are things with you on this Sunday morning?
Good, good. I had a lot of people ask me of why we're doing this podcast. Not in like in a mean way or whatever. And I guess we should kind of get into why we're doing this kind of podcast, because there's a lot of other good stuff out there. There's a lot of basics of Sikhi, Nam.info. There's a lot of really good podcasts, but I think ours is going to be a bit different because we're going to be a little bit off the cuff and maybe even a little bit controversial, maybe even sometimes a little bit offensive to some people, just because we're going to be very true to the guru, to the Sikhi, to the saints and to the shaheeds, right? Because there's a lot of nindya, a lot of bullshit, back-talking, mixing up our history and all that stuff, right? And a lot of people on TikTok or on YouTube or on social media that think they can spew a lot of bullshit, and it feels like, you know, there needs to be some sort of there also needs to be another venue where, you know, where people kind of call those people out and say, no man, like this is the truth, right? Like especially with, like, you know, some pracharaks out there, you know, they go on stage and then instead of creating, you know, you're supposed to create faith in people, faith in guru, faith in Sikhi and people, when you're right on stage talking about guru and gurbani and itihas and stuff like that, they actually create doubt. So those idiots, you know, we're going to call them out and we're going to put clips on TikTok, you know, we're going to put a lot of stuff out there, kind of refuting all these idiots that are trying to almost like dilute Sikhi and kind of stray people the wrong way. Another thing is, like, if you have kids in the room or whatever, young kids, this is the podcast that maybe you shouldn't be listening to. Again, there's other more clean cut Sikhi based podcasts out there. We're going to be a little bit more off the cuff. Our humor is a bit, you know, it's a bit brash and maybe even dark sometimes. It's basically going to be like a podcast of basically buddies. Imagine buddies talking about Sakya and the Panth and all that, you know, and not really, you know, caring what other people think about what our views are or whatever, right? Because I think we were talking about it, Sarpanch, the other day, that a lot of that hardcore liberalism has seeped into Sikhi and stuff, right? And people are kind of putting Sikhi in their own box and putting Guru in their own box of beliefs, but it should be the other way around. We should be fitting into that whatever Guru's mat is, Gurmat, right? Not Manmat. Right. So, but yeah. So, what are your thoughts? Like, why did you want to do this podcast?
Good question. So, for me, you know, my goal through this process is to try to become a better Sikh every day. You know, I would never consider myself. I was born into a. Never consider myself a true great Sikh, right? So hopefully through this process I become better educated and maybe we can educate others and create a, you know, this is a platform to create dialogue between people to discuss Sikhi. And as you mentioned, you know, it's about following the guru's teachings, right? And not interpreting our own way and saying, you know, this is how I believe this should be. And I agree with you 100% there. So That's the goal that I hope to achieve personally. And also, you know, further to your point, to refute people who are doing nindya of some of the great saints of the past and, criticizing them or criticizing their beliefs, which have stood the test of time for centuries now. So that's what I hope to gain from this.
Yeah, no. And also to put it out there, like me and you, we didn't really grow up in Guru Sikhi families either. Like with Guru's grace, I adopted Sikhi and took Amrit much later in my life. For me personally, like I lived that other life before I got into Sikhi too. So I see the other side of the story also, right? We grew up in your typical, Surrey area and stuff like that. And, we saw the Surrey Jack lifestyle and all that. So it's not like we were, immersed in Sangat at a young age or immersed with, Sikhi at a young age. With Guru's grace, we were put on the path on at a much later time in life. But, I look back and I appreciate that time that I did have. I know it's weird to say without Sikhi, because now that once you get Sikhi, then you realize how precious it really is. My siblings, for example, like I'm the only one that's, quote unquote, I don't want to use the word Gursikh, because when you read stories about saints and great shaheeds and stuff like that, like that's what you call Gursikhs, right? So even within my family structure, right, I'm really, really like the only one, apart from my mom who adopted it later also, and then my dad who just adopted it a couple of years ago. So our lens and our outlook is probably going to be, maybe, I don't know, maybe some people call it refreshing or whatever, because we'll look at two sides of the coin also, right? Because we know how hard it is to grow up in a Western world where you're torn between, your school buddies and all the shit that they're doing. And then, you have Sikhi too, but let's say if you don't even have Sikhi at home, but you want to get there, like, where do you go? Like you're ripped, you're getting drawn in all different directions, right? So even like the whole judging other people, like, oh yeah, why they're not part of Sikhi or whatever, right? That's as an Amritdhari or as Amritdharis, we shouldn't be doing that. But also we can call out people for doing dumb shit too, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I feel like we have more of a stance because we live the other life too. So we understand the other part of that life. So we can have a better, maybe a little bit of a better opinion on certain things too. I just want to throw that out there. We're not Pracharics. We haven't, done crazy studies on Sikh history or, done even Santi of Gurbani or any of that. But we do respect those great Sings, and Singhanis and great Gursikhs right now who are doing great Prachar, who are doing great Seva in the Panth. And anytime their name gets thrown to the, try to get, dragged through the garbage, we're always going to be there to back them up and refute these idiots on TikTok. Like, it's almost like anybody can just grab a phone now and just talk wherever the fuck they want. Like, it's just like they can just spew all the shit that they want. And there's other people that like to refute them too. But, when you do a sandhik of a nindik, you can have the strongest faith. It can affect your faith.
Yeah. That negativity can drag you down. That's the thing with these influencers, right? They can work good and in bad ways. So I hope that we can create some pushback on those views.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And another thing is, like, if you have young kids that want a Sikhi based podcast, again, there's other great podcasts out there, basically Sikhi, nam.info. There's a lot of great stuff out there. For young kids, this might not be the best because sometimes we'll have offensive jokes or just sometimes our language will kind of go the other way. So again, it's just two buddies talking, right? And if you're offended, you're offended, right? So, just don't listen to us then. But we're going to be true to what what our personalities are, and also about our history and about our, you know, the great saints and the great shaheeds. Like, we're gonna be true to all that, right? We believe that Guru is God himself. We believe that Guru Nanak is Akal Purkh that came in form on earth, right? We believe our 10 gurus are, they're one light. They're all that one light of Akal Purkh, just in 10 different forms, that now is our Jagdi Jot Guru Granth Sahib, right? We believe that. We believe our guru can do anything. We believe our guru created everything. We believe our guru can move mountains for you. We believe our guru can make, you know, warriors fight with their heads cut off, right? With, you know, beautiful saints like Baba Deep Singh Ji, right? We believe in all that, right? People who have you know, ailments, and or if they have cancer, or if their children are going through certain health problems, you know, they go to the Guru Granth Sahib and they do ardas, right? And then things turn around. Why do things turn around? Because Maharaj himself is Akal Purkh. They can turn anything around, right? And Guru's Bani is Turki Bani. Is Bani from such kind? It's a Bani from Akal Purkh. Right, you can't just say, "Oh, this Barney's wrong, that Barney's wrong, oh, Dasam Barney's wrong." You know, Dasam Granth is Guru Gobind Singh's Barney. We believe in that too. So, we're going to get into why people like to cause doubt in certain types of Barneys, and especially Dasam Barney, why there was doubt. There's a historical link to that too, right? So, we're going to get into all that. We're also going to, you know, when these beautiful saints, like, we're gonna get into their stories too, and if you really like want to know true Gursukhi Jeevan, you gotta read the Jeevan Sakhi of saints, right? Me and you can write our own life stories. Tadri Ali could write his own life story. Like, what is he gonna write? I got up at 9 a.m. I had freaking, you know, five alu wale paronthe, and then I freaking took a shit. Like, you know, who's going to want to, you're not going to get anything from his Jeevan Sakhi. But when you read the Jeevan Sakhi of great saints, that's where the true essence of Sikhi is. That's where we learn everything. But we're going to get into those stories too.
You recommended a great book to me, Sekh Anaya. It's The Life of Baba Harnam Singh Ji. And I was blown away. That's one of those books. So I had it on my laptop and I would highlight things. And like, they had darshan of the gurus multiple times over their lives. And An amazing book you can get for free online to anyone listening. And that's what I mean. You know, those are great saints. And that's that's a person that kept those things gupt basically their whole lives until they passed away, or until they were, you know, in very old age. There's one interview of them online. Other than that, you know, that book was released, you know, after their death. And it's, that's the type of story, you know, that's the type of Jeevan that we should all strive for, in my opinion. And also, sure, just further to your point, you know, we also want to discuss current events happening or that affect Sikhi. There's a lot of developments that are happening right now in Punjab, a lot of things going on that are directly relevant to the Panth. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like Amritpal Singh and his emergence and stuff like that. And for example, the Suryu, the Shiv Sena guy who got popped the other day. Well, I mean, that's what happened.
Let's go on that. Okay, so
okay. Should we
tell us, G, who is this Amritpal Singh, first of all? Because this guy is great. He's got a big following now. He's come out of nowhere in the last few months. Who is he?
So, he was pretty. So he was in Dubai for the last 10 years, I believe. And I think, and he was on Twitter, he was pretty active and stuff, like talking about Panthic issues.
Right.
And when he came to Punjab, I think it was about 3-4 months ago. And then he was basically the leader of Waris Punjab Day. That was Deep Sidhu's created Jathebandi, basically to talk about Punjab's issues, Panthic issues, our own Raj. That will always be like the front front discussion, right, of Waris Punjab Day, right? So it's funny how it's like some people are saying, it's so funny because you get people saying, "Oh yeah, he's an agent," or, you know, "He's an agent of God knows who, of Delhi or whatever." And it's like, you know what? If Delhi's creating those type of agents, man, please make 100 more. I make 200 200,000 more. Same thing was they said about Santi. Oh, he's a Congressy agent. He's a Congressy agent, right? And even KP Brar, the general who would basically was part of the attack on Darbar Sahib, he said, look, we tried to buy Santaji out. We tried to give him billions of dollars and a passport to anywhere in the world to basically go wherever he wants and just leave. And Santaji said no. Right? Yeah. KP Brar said that.
When you're saying Santaji, you're referring to Sant Prindarvali, right?
Yeah, Sant Prindarvali, yeah.
Okay, yeah, go on.
So you tell me, like, would an agent, would a general of like the army or whatever blatantly say, yeah, we tried to buy him out and he said no?
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. That should tell you right there, you know, how legitimate Santaji was. And this Amritpal Singh is creating waves, man. Like, he's got a big following and he's very brash. He's saying things that a lot of people have been afraid to say for decades in India. And he's in, you know, he's in the trenches over there. And then recently, Shiv Sena, he's a leader of a Hindu extremist group. Maybe you can elaborate more, but he was assassinated outside of during a protest, basically.
Yeah, Suri. So Suri was, we used to spew a lot of shit, like shit like this. Like, we got some audio here. So basically, he's like, the Sikhs are 2%. We can just rub him out like in 2 seconds. Basically, he's saying he can do a mass genocide on us, and it'll take basically seconds to do it. So he's just spew a lot of stuff about our gurus, about our Mariyada, about every June 6th, he used to give out Ladua because of the attack on Darbar Sahib. They used to burn effigies of Sant Prindarvali, just talk shit about Shaheed Singh families and say that, oh, I'm going to have sexual relations with their women folk and all that. Like, he's just a lot of gund. And when you do Nindya like that, man, your time comes, man, because in Sukhmani Sahib, the Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, there's one Ashpadi that talks straight about what happens when you do Nindya of right. Mahapurks and great, obviously Maharaj, Guru Sahib too. Like, if you're doing Nindya of that, like, you, basically everything, your whole boat sinks. You could have the biggest, you could have the Titanic and it'll sink because of that Nindya. So his time came. That's it. And the funny thing is, he had 15 gunmen around him and he still got popped.
Yeah. This video, look, I don't want to, I don't want to say it was funny, but there is something humorous about this, that there are all these bodyguards around him that don't, like, just, they didn't give a fuck. Like, they're just standing around on their cell phones. Like, this shooting's on video and just this brazen, like, during the day, and he's done, like, it's over. And one of his, one of his sidekicks, his henchmen, I guess he was talking a lot of smack about Sakhi beforehand, but he's changed his stance since then. But what happened after that? So, you know, there were some arrests made, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well they want to find a, they want to kill, two birds with one stone, right? This guy dies now, we can arrest Amritpal Singh, right? We can quiet him down, right? They're just going to find a bahana because supposedly the shooter met with Amritpal Singh. Maybe days or weeks before that. And so they're trying to find a connection between Amritpal Singh and him. Yeah. So it reminds me of, like, during Santi's time too, right? Like anything that happened in Punjab, it's Santi's fault, right? They would hire goons. The Indian army would hire goons to dress up like Singhs and kill busloads of Hindus and say, yeah, it was Sant Prindarvali who ordered that. And then to this day, like Hindus will always go back to that. Say, yeah, but you guys killed busloads of us. Okay, for example, let's say we killed. I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I don't believe in killing innocent people. Like, that's horrible, right? But devil's advocate here. Okay, let's say we killed a couple busloads, right? Compared to they killed 300,000 of us in 10 years, right? Like, and 30,000 of us in 3 days in November in the Delhi and the main cities in India. Right, it's like how do you guys even compare? To you got a couple busloads, all right? Yeah, but you look how many of us you killed, right? But they'll always kind of shy away from that. So the Indian government will always find certain tactics to always make any Sikh leader who's going against the grain that it's their fault, and that's what he's doing. Amritpal Singh is basically talking. He's basically going on stage and publicly saying what we are thinking inside. as a bunt. I mean, there's some people out there saying that, oh yeah, he's you know, buying Gandha there, or he's gonna burn Punjab or whatever. But what are we just gonna sit back and just be slaves to the system? Like, is that really what our ancestors would want? Like, and then you have a lot of people that would say, oh, like, yeah, free Palestine, or yeah, we support Ukraine or whatever. But when it comes to our stuff, they're either quiet or they start talking shit.
Exactly. There's definitely a double standard there. It seems like, you know, whenever Sikhs talk about Khalistan or, you know, their own independent state, it's somehow a bad thing.
That's a taboo word, right? Like, it's like, even amongst us, like Punjabis, Khalistan is a very taboo word. And it's like, hold on, like, the Indian government has engraved that in us that we can't even say Khalistan properly.
Exactly. So, I think during the course of these shows, we're going to do episodes about those issues that are current in Sikhi, but also talk about old Sakhiya of our gurus, of our great saints, and, what's happening in the world Sikhi related. So all those things, I think it'd be beneficial to whoever our viewers are to discuss those things.
Yeah. That's exactly it. It's going to be like each episode is going to be like a mix of Sakhiya, current events, what we think of what's happening, and ongoing stuff that's happening right now. Like, I was reading an article from England, somewhere in England, I forgot where it was, but an auntie got raped on her way to the Gurdwara in the morning, man.
Where was
she? I forgot where in England. Somewhere in England.
England is actually a really fucked up place. Like, you know, like they've got brazen attacks, you know, in daylight. Like, all the knife killings or acid attacks, like, during the day. England is a very dangerous place.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I have I have certain opinions on why that is. I mean, when you're letting in a lot of people into your country, right? And, you know, they come from countries where, like, for example, like, there's anarchy or whatever, or they're freaking pirates. What do you think they're going to do when they come into your freaking country? Like, I work in law enforcement, so I have a certain opinion on certain things, and I've seen it. There is a pattern, right? You can't say, oh, no, that's wrong, you're being racist or whatever. No, there is a pattern. I mean, if you want to have rainbow color lenses, you know, that on this world, then great, you know, be happy about it. But you're basically being in denial, and what is it? Ignorance is bliss, kind of, you know, that quote. That's what it is. And then you're having all these knife crimes, and you're having auntie on, like, she's 60 years old. She's going to the Gurdwara in the morning, and a car comes and freaking rapes her, man.
I actually didn't hear about this. This is pretty recent.
Yeah, I think this was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that's
the article came out a couple of days ago. I don't know when the crime was, but yeah. So, and Europe is going through a lot of shit too now, man. Like, there's parts of, like, Belgium that, like, white people won't even go to. Like, it's literally just ghettos now. Like, Belgium, Belgium, will, you know, was a very advanced country, but they let in a lot of people from the other countries in Northern Africa, and now they're seeing it. And now that's why now you're seeing all these right-wing movements in Europe, right?
You remember those attacks that happened pretty recently in New York as well, where, a couple of young men attacked elderly Sikh men. Do you remember that?
Yeah, those got it. Yeah, every like 2-3 days they would attack.
And it kind of, you know, that it reminds you why our guru said, stay tiyar bhai tiyar, right? Always stay ready. And I don't like, the purpose of this podcast is not to give the impression to people that Sikhi is right or left, you know, in terms of politics. That's not the point. Like you and I have discussed that in many ways, Sikhi encompasses both sides. You know, for instance, Guru Nanak Dev Ji was radically progressive for his time, you know, in terms of gender equality and abolishing the caste system. And then if you look at Sikhi's view on staying armed, right, Tyag by Tyag and always being ready, some people would look conservative and far right, but, you know, there's a purpose of this. You know, there was a purpose of why, you know, our gurus gave that direction to people, that you got to stay ready. You know, we're in Kaljuk, bad things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where as six our psyche shouldn't go right or left. Like once we get stuck in that trap, man, then
exactly.
Right. For example, let's see. Oh yeah, I'm hard left wing. I'm left wing. Well, then you're not gonna like weapons then.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. If you're right wing, then you're not gonna like other certain things. You're not gonna like a quality of certain things.
Yeah.
So as but six, we should goal is not come up
in the one area, right? It's just taking it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And in the West, we become slave to the rest of the how the rest of the people think, right? Oh, I'm right wing, I'm left wing, right? Sikhi is above all that. Sikhi, like you said, encompasses basically both aspects, but we don't strive to go one way or the other. Yeah. Obviously, the extremes of both are very dangerous, and we're seeing in the Western world. I mean, especially in Canada. Probably United States too, I would say. The extreme left, we're seeing that and how it's how it's scary, man. Like I was reading like drag queens like going into elementary schools and doing shows for the kids and stuff like that. Like what the hell is that? Like what are you teaching the kids, man? And like how many genders are there now? There's like 70 genders. Like we grew up and we knew, okay, if somebody's gay or lesbian or whatever, you know, it is what it is, whatever. And, you know, nobody bullied them or whatever. Like it is. And they never blatantly, like, you know, would put it in our face either. Like they're just like a mutual thing. Like, okay, that's the way they live. That's the way they live. Sanugia, right? But now it's like almost like they're really, really throwing it in our faces, man. Like these drag shows for elementary schools, like that's crazy. And like these, I was reading an article in the States, like this this girl got raped by a transsexual in the washroom because that transsexual can use the girls' washroom because they said that they declare themselves a girl. So they dress up like a girl. But then when another girl came into the washroom, that transsexual raped that girl. And the rape victim's father, you know, tried to go the legal way or whatever. And basically, the school board shut them down. And not only that, the LGBTQ plus groups went after the father now. Like, it's like, what? How does that make sense, man?
I think, you know, the concern about what's happening in the world is people are using Sikhi to try to conform to their own personal views when it should be the other way around. You should be conforming to Sikhi, right?
Yeah.
That's a concern everywhere, right? People aren't following Gurmat. They're trying to use Sikhi to somehow mold it into how they live their life. And how it would benefit me, right?
It's like that quote, man, that we see all over social media of supposedly Guru Nanak Dev Ji said this in Barney somewhere where I couldn't find.
Oh,
where it says, before becoming a Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Sikh first, be a human. Yeah, like that's like the Sahorna Chaida crew, man. Like that. No, tell that to the Sabjati then. Just tell that to the Shorty Sabjati who are getting bricked alive, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's we've all seen that meme somewhere, and you always just have to cringe at it because it's not a real quote.
And people, but it has so many likes, and people like, oh yeah, yeah, Guru Nanak Dev Ji, yeah, like you, like oh, for example here. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I agree with you 100%. That meme itself is so popular, but the sad thing is it's not even a real quote. And if you correct them, they'll either get offended or, you know, it is what it is. So,
well, you're cuttered, man. You're too much like a, you know how they'll say, "Oh yeah, you're like the Taksali," or you're this and that, you know, like they'll just totally just dismantle you by saying those kind of things. Well, you know what? For example, if somebody calls you a Taksali, hey man, they gave a lot of shahidiyan, man, and they had saints that were the jathedars of that jathebandi, great saints, right? So, hey, if Taksali, if you call somebody a Taksali because they're a little bit cuttered, hey, it is what it is, man, right? Yeah. They're true to what it is.
Exactly. No, exactly. So, I mean, I think the nice thing about the show is that there are so many topics in Sikhi that we can cover. Like, it's not just Sakya, but, you know, it could be a Shabad that you want to expand on or something that has helped you a lot, right? And I'd also like to invite some guests onto our show and just talk about their journey into Sikhi and and how they progress and how they become better six every day.
We'll invite those drag queens.
Sure. Yeah. That might be, yeah, maybe, you know, they'll educate the people. Who knows, right? Whoever, we're open to all. We're open to hearing all sides.
Yeah, because we've seen it all. We've seen the other side too. Yeah. So somebody sent me a video, man. It's fucking hilarious. So this is the kind of shit that really grinds my gears too sometimes, right? Like I was Mona before, right? And I just want you to hear this, and I want you to guess who's the not the person who's saying the thing, but who's the person's behind him after. Just listen to this for a second here.
ਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਕਿਹਾ ਨੀਤਾਂ ਸਾਫ਼ ਹੋਣੀ ਚਾਹੀਦੀਆਂ ਤੇ ਸੋਚ ਵਧੀਆ ਹੋਣੀ ਚਾਹੀਦੀ ਨਾ ਕਿ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਿਰ ਤੋਂ ਰੋਡਿਆ ਹਨਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਸਿਰ ਤੋਂ ਰੋਡਿਆ ਜਾਂ ਕੱਟੀਏ ਦਾੜੀ ਪਰ ਸਾਡੀ ਬਾਬੇ ਨਾਨਕ ਨਾਲ ਹੈ ਪੱਕੀ ਆੜੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਪੂਜਦੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਮਝਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਉਹਦੀ ਦੱਸੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਕੀ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ ਜੇ ਜਲ ਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਹਿਤਾ ਪਾਣੀ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਨੀਤ ਨਾ ਰੱਖੀ ਮਾੜੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਸਿਰ ਤੋਂ ਰੋਡਿਆ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਕੱਟੀਏ ਦਾੜੀ ਪਰ ਸਾਡੀ ਬਾਬੇ ਨਾਨਕ ਨਾਲ ਪੱਕੀ ਆੜੀ
Okay, so who do you think?
First of all, you know, I'm not surprised at the view because there's a lot of people like that, man. There's a lot of people who are like, I follow Guru Nanak Sikhi. I don't, all those, you know, from Guru One, from Guru Nanak Dev Ji to Guru Arjan Dev Ji, I follow those people. Everything after, you know, I don't know, it got too militarized and violent. So I don't, you know, there's a lot of Sikhs like that. So yeah. I'm not exactly surprised at that view that, we just follow Guru Nanak about, jumping Nam and sharing the wealth and what's the other one to be honest, live honestly. So I would say the obvious answer is the Indian government.
No, who's the guy in the back creaming his pants saying wow 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 wow?
Oh is it like a singer or something?
No, it's a pracharik. A pracharik who does prachar in the
Hajuri. Is it Dadriyawale?
Yeah.
It is?
Dadriyawale, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Why don't you tell us about him? Because I've heard a lot about him. My first actually introduction to him was a video many years ago. And our listeners have maybe have seen this video, but it's him on his cell phone. He's sitting somewhere. And all these, worshippers are coming to, like, drop gifts, like all these clothes, random items, money. They're just throwing money at his feet. And Dandriyawale is just on his phone, and he's just, like, patting them on the head. Like, okay, yeah, next, next, next. And it was just the saddest video. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. And I remember you were, too. I think you were probably the one who sent me the video.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, you could get that video from the video stores, man.
Old. I'd say this video's over 10 years old, right?
No, more than that, man. I was probably in grade 9 or grade 10 during that time.
Oh, really? Okay, so that's, yeah, I mean, it's an old video, but yeah, it was a shocking video. And look, even at that time, even when we were young, it's kind of a shocking thing to see. Like, what? It's just not every day you see something like that, right? But anyway, so okay, I'm not totally surprised that he was laughing in the background at that comment.
So, but the funny thing is, like, this guy, and I was Monna too, right? Like, so here's my opinion. Even when I was Monna, I would never say "Meri Pakki Yari Amma Guruna." I would never say that. Even now, being Amartari, if I ever said that, "Be Meri Pakki Yari Ya Guru Sahib Nal,"
right?
You cut my head off, man. Right, because I know how much negative stuff I have in me. Right. I can pakki yari with Guru. That's like when I think of pakki yari, I think of, like, you know, the saints. I think of, like, the Panj Pyare, the original Panj Pyare, Pai Deya Singh Ji's, those type, you know, Pai Gurdas Ji, Pai Nandalal, Pai Mardana Ji. That's what I think of, like, Baba Pidi Chand. That's what I think about pakki yari with Guru Sahib, man. Yeah. This guy, this guy's like, ooh. Even though I have my hair cut and I'm shaved, whatever, but sadi pakki yari Guru Nanak Nal. And then he says, whatever, then because Tardinali had a big thing. He called basically Sarovar Jal. He basically just called it Pani, right?
Right.
So Pani is a word that you just use for water. But jal is a very respectful term you use for water in the sarovar, especially. Okay, you call it, okay. Yeah, so you would call it sarovar jal, basically, right? And so he said, well, who cares if we called it? No, you, that's Guru Ram Das Ji Maharaj, who started that sarovar. And then Guru Arjan Dev Ji, obviously, the construction happened. That's their blessing. Bangla Sahib, same thing. Guru Hari Krishna Sahib. People go there that have really bad diseases, and they go in the sarovar, and they get cured. It's not Ampani, right? So he said, who cares if we call it? And then he says, we don't worship Guru's Bani. We understand it. If you can really realistically say you understand Guru's Bani, right? Even the big gurus, they'll even say, we don't know anything. Yeah. But these guys are saying, we understand it. We don't worship it. Well, we bow down to Guru Granth Sahib, right? That's Guru's Jyot right there. We worship Guru's Bani. We bow down to Guru's Bani, right? If you wrote anything, that's the problem. Like when you have like these wedding cards and stuff, and everybody's guilty of it, even us. Wedding cards, they put Gurbani on it, and then people just toss it in the bin, right? We've lost that respect. We don't believe that Bani is from Sachkhand. We don't believe that's a Kalpurk.
Don't get me started on Indian weddings. We can do a whole show on my thoughts on, you know, on what is wrong with our Indian weddings right now. Starting with, first and foremost, people doing Bhangra outside of the Gurdwara, basically in the parking lot or drinking in the limo. But I know this is going to rattle people's cages, but
fuck them.
It is what it is, man. It needs to be called out.
Fuck them.
I know. It annoys me to no end, man. Like nobody gives a fuck about your same day edit. All these people just fucking... I don't know. I'm stunned, man. I would never, like, if I'm at a wedding and I'm in the parking lot and they're about to do a das and you got like a toli and all these people doing bhangra, I've never joined that and I never will. I just think it's, I don't know. It's like, don't you guys feel embarrassed, man? Like, it's just, it's so embarrassing. It's so disrespectful. I can't believe it. I'm still utterly in shock. And I feel like a lot of people don't. You obviously understand why, but when I bring this up with, like, you know, random people, they're just like, what's the big deal? We're just having fun. You know, it's a wedding. I don't know. And then what am I supposed to say to them?
There's a time and place for all that, right? So when you go into...
You guys are that addicted to whatever it is that you can't just wait like a few hours. You can't just wait till the reception. You just have to do Bhangra literally 20 feet away from the Guru Granth Sahib. You just have to do it, right?
Well, it's a Bhangra team, guys.
I was telling you. Remember there was a time where, I guess, like, right, I don't know if it was right before the wedding or right after, but you know how the limo pulls into the parking lot?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the girl side has, like, their, the flower girls?
Yeah.
So one of these girls starts twerking, like, and this is...
Oh, my God.
Twerking in the limo, right? Just fucking, I don't know, man. And see, but hold on. Yeah. Hey, look, gee, like, this has been going on for decades, though. People start drinking right in the morning, like, right in the parking lot of the Gurdwara. This shouldn't be a surprise to people. I think most people already know this, but nobody really gives a damn. Nobody does anything about it. But this right there is just complete disrespect. And I'm surprised no Gurdwara committees have banned this yet.
It's money.
Probably, yeah. That's the thing. It's a business.
Money, money, money.
I'm utterly stunned that whenever I see it, even though it's been going on for decades, I'm still stunned when I see this. But
and the thing is, you know what? That's that liberal bullshit that seeps into our psyche.
That's right? An example of it right there. When people use, yeah, exactly. Oh, you know, we're just having fun. Oh, you know, your way of thinking is so old. Oh, like, you know, all that shit. It's like, man, it's not that you just can't wait. Like, you can't give it 3-4 hours until later in the day. You just have to do it right now. It's just, it's disrespectful. There's no other way to put it.
Well, the thing is, okay, for like the Bhangra thing, right? Like, there's a time and place for that, right? Do it at the reception, do it at the person's house or whatever. Even if you're gonna go to the park after for pictures, utthe vi kar lo, right?
And you know, another thing is when the groom is in Maharaji Sarup and like holding that, you know, the shastar and they're drinking, Kalki. You know, yeah. Oh, it's just like, dude. But nobody gives a fuck. People just, I don't know.
I'm a bit hardcore too.
But
like even wearing the Kalgi man, like I'm like, yo, we all know who wears the Kalgi man. That's good Gobind Singh Ji. Just chill on that.
Yeah, exactly. That's like actually a really good point, because remember back in the day, the Mughals were like, hey, only the emperor wears a Kalgi. Why is Guru Gobind Singh Ji wearing a Kalgi, right? So that's how significant it is. When they got these grooms wearing Kalgis.
That's exactly it, Sarpanch Saab. That's Guru Gobind Singh Ji's blessings, but are we going to follow with Maharaj's teachings? Well, no. We're going to get hungover. We're going to come to the wedding, sit there, sit in Guru Saab's hajuri, right? We have basically crown royal on our breath while we're going around Maharaj, doing the Lama, right? The minute we leave outside the Langar Hall, the bottles are already cracked in the parking lot.
Yeah. Right? You know what? This isn't going to, it's been going on for years and it's going to keep going. No one's going to do anything about it. No one gives up. Yeah. It's really sad. There's no other way to put it.
And people, the thing is, during that time, during the Nandakaris, that's where you're wanting blessings from Maharaj, right? But you're almost creating a curse because, you know, you come in that form, half hungover, just come doing Bhangra, just like right outside the entrance, you know. You have freaking Bacardi seeping through your pores still.
Yeah.
And, all your groomsmen are almost about to puke because they're so hungover. And then Bacho, 3-4 months later, Loki Pochadeya, oh man, the wedding, the marriage didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, there is effects of it, right? I just think that, you know, those 2-3 hours on that day should be sacred, right?
You should be. You know, exactly.
You know, I've always said, you know, weddings are supposed to be about the, you know, the sanctity of marriage, not the spectacle. And these Punjabi weddings are just a big spectacle now. It's, you know, nothing's going to be done about it. Really, there's nothing going to be done about it. It's the wedding industry in BC is huge, right? It's a lucrative industry. So, nothing's going to stop it, but it's flat out disrespectful, and nobody, and the sad thing is people don't even see it. Like they don't see eye to eye. They just think it's having fun. Larry, that's your day to just like go nuts, but there's gotta be some limits.
Yeah. I mean, people are just blind to it. Chalo, with Guru's grace, chalo, we have the soji to think, right? But it amazes me how blind people are to that, this kind of shit.
Yeah, and that's an obvious thing. Like I thought it'd just be like so obvious. Like, hey man, like show some respect. You're in the confines. You're so close to Guru Granth Sahib. You know they're like feet. They're like 20 feet away. Like, come on. I mean, but it is what it is.
What about the people who buy new houses? They do a karnpat. They have a bar downstairs right before Maharaj comes. They clean the bar. They put the bottles in the shed. The minute Maharaj leaves, the bolt will not get open again downstairs. Yeah, well,
that reminds me. You know, like back in the day, actually, there's still some places like this. They'll have the Gurdwara upstairs, but the dance hall downstairs.
Bear Creek Gurdwara, man.
I don't know, man. It's too close to home.
And it's money. It's all money, Sarpanch.
Yeah, some places in India are still like this, though. Like they'll have these weddings in remote areas where they'll have the Guru Granth Sahib, and then the reception will be like, you know, in a tent, very like basically nearby, and all the liquor's there. So it's it's just flat out disrespectful. I don't know how else to say it.
And then we everybody questions, oh, why don't we have Khalsa Raj? Why are six, you know, acting like idiots here, there, and there, and this and that? Why? And another thing, like the whole alcohol problem in our home too, like if you look, people say, oh, it's a Punjabi thing. Well, if you look at Punjabi Muslims and Punjabi Hindus and Punjabi Sikhs, out of all three of them, who has the alcohol problem?
Right.
Like it's not a Punjabi thing. It's not. Like people like to fucking say, oh, well, Punjabi, you know, it's this is just how we are. No, man. Like I know a lot of Punjabi Muslims, man. They don't go near that shit.
Yeah. you know, and we were discussing this, you know, one thing you got to admire about these religious folks, whether you're, you know, Sikh, Muslim, or, you know, Buddhist, the people that are like really hardcore into their beliefs and just follow it 100%, you got to admire it, whether you agree with their beliefs or not.
Yeah,
you can't help but respect it, right? We were talking about that UFC guy Khabib.
Yeah,
how this guy, his whole life was just training and going to the mosque, right? And people wondered, how is this guy undefeated? How is he like never lost? Well, you know, he never went to clubs, he never drank, he never chased girls. His whole life was training and going to the mosque. That was it.
Warrior lifestyle, man.
Yeah, and I remember when he was preparing to fight Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor had his whiskey like sitting on the table.
Proper 12.
Yeah, Khabib was like, "Hey, man, just be respectful. You're not supposed to have liquor sitting on the table like in front of me, right? I'm a Muslim." And McGregor just like gave it to him, right? Oh, like your backwards views.
Yeah.
And of course, McGregor got his ass whooped. But I was like, you know, whether you agree with Islam or not, you got to respect how people are very committed
to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck who's who. Like, they're committed to the Quran and the Prophet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you gotta respect that. That belief is, it's awesome to see. And I think
Sikhs should be like that too. We should be like that with our guru.
Yeah.
Right? Our guru is so great, yet we just take it for fucking granted, man.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, like Khabib, for example, like that warrior lifestyle, even like all those guys from Dagestan, like they're like warriors, man. Sikhs were supposed to be like that too, man.
Now, I remember man, they are, you said it, they're warriors. There's no other way to put it. They're like training fighting bears when they're 6 years old, right? And they abstain from, you know, there's parallels of Sikhi. You abstain from those vices, right? They don't go near alcohol, they don't go near girls, like they don't go clubbing. They're very committed to their faith and basically just living that warrior lifestyle.
Yeah, you got to respect it, man. Like when I look at them, I'm like, man, us Sikhs, we were like, remember when Andrew, people got all pissed off at Andrew Tate when he said that? He's like, yeah, Sikhs were supposed to be a warrior religion and they haven't really fucked anybody up in a long time. And people got offended. And I thought, I'm like, you know what? He has a point, man.
He did have a point. Yeah, he did have a point.
Like, no, he has a fucking point. Now we're just like, Babu Man AP Tillon fucking Chile now, man.
Yeah, he, you know, what he was saying was that, you know, Sikhs were distinct and kind of had, you know, their own independence for a while. Like, you know, that's what they were, what he was basically saying, right? And it's been a long time since we've created that, you know, since the Sikhs as an organized group has created that fear in people.
Yeah, I think last time probably, what, 84? I think during Santaji's time, right? Like when the Sikhs really were like, you know, fucking shit up, right? Like, you know, popping Indra, popping Vaidya, the generals, popping all these, you know, corrupt politicians, these corrupt cops and all that. That's when Sikhs were really fucking shit up. And then after that, we kind of went through this lull, or whatever they call it, where we kind of just, these singers all of a sudden became like our gurus, man.
I just think like, you know, if our gurus were alive, would they let any of this stand? Like all this, like 1984, what would happen if Guru Gobind Singh was still around at that time? Like it would be a very different outcome. Or if, you know, these farmers protests, if our gurus were still alive, all these things, right?
Well, you know, our guru's obviously not gone anywhere. Maharaj is unsung. It's just that the right. Sikhs that need to kind of, for example, now, like as a qom, we're like very poor. Like we're very soft sometimes. Like remember when during the farmers' protest, Bollywood, they basically turned their back on us.
Yeah,
and now you have our people on TikTok dancing to Bollywood songs again.
Right.
Or like Punjabi singers now going towards Bollywood again. Like what happened to you? These guys didn't give a shit about you. Right.
Back to this, this Shiv Sena group. Now there was something about the founder who was, basically producing all the Bollywood films back then. Right.
Yeah, he was like the dawn of like Bombay Mumbai at that time. Yeah. Bala Thackeray.
His name's Bala Thackeray or something.
Yeah, he actually challenged Santhi Pindrali that if Santhi steps foot in Bombay, Mumbai, or whatever the fuck they call it now, I don't know. Basically, he would basically annihilate Santhi. And basically, yeah. Like, within months, Santhi was there with the Sangat throwing flowers on Santhi as he was approaching the city. And Bala Thackeray went into hiding.
So basically, the connection is this Bala Thackeray person founded this Shiv Sena group, a radical Hindu extremist group. Bala Thackeray funded a lot of, basically all the Bollywood movies back in the day. And now recently, this person who was assassinated was kind of the head of this group that Bala Thackeray created, right?
Like, and in Punjab, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, wow, it's come full circle for sure.
Well, that just shows you why Bollywood always portrays Sikhs as fucking idiots, right? Remember Johnny Lever, the fucking Kala? They would make us look farting and burping. And
if anybody wants a good example of that, just YouTube Johnny Lever, Raja Hindustani, and there's a clip of his like his intro into that movie. It's
Or Singh is King, when Akshay, like that movie by Akshay Kumar.
Yeah. I mean, we can go on all day about that issue, but yeah, I 100% agree with you. You know, funny enough, during that protest, you know, when Bollywood went silent, I was shocked that out of all people, Priyanka Chopra was the one to speak out and actually have our backs, because fuck, I can't stand her. She's like the one celebrity I unfollowed on social media, because I don't know why, but there were, you know, one out of thousands that actually stood up for us.
But you have to look at why also, right? Because she praised KPS Gill after his death. I think he died about 3-4 years ago. And basically, a lot of Punjabis turned on her.
Yeah.
So she was basically trying to grab back that.
KPS Gill was the general who led the Indian army into the Dvarsav, right?
No. That was Vaidya and KP Barad. KPS Gill was basically the super cop, quote unquote, that basically was the lapdog of Bianta, the CM of Punjab, who in turn was the lapdog of Delhi, basically perpetrated the mass killings. That's when the mass killings and genocide really took it to a different level in Punjab. That's where like women were mass raped. Police officers were given the green light to do what the fuck they wanted anywhere. Like, I'm talking about like mass killings, mass rape, just mass torture. That's when it took it to the next level. And KPS Gill was the one that orchestrated all that shit. So when he died because of old age in an army barracks, because he couldn't even leave it because he was so shit scared. He basically lived in jail. Basically, he couldn't even leave because he knew that the Sikhs were going to slit his throat.
And KP Brar is still alive, right? He's an older guy. He's kind of
I think he's on his deathbed. Like his whole family, fucking. That's what happens when you fuck with the guru's house, man. His whole family, like, he went through a lot of shit, man. Like, his whole family basically disintegrated. And they tried to get him. They tried to get him in England, but he got away or he survived the attack.
I think he was saying, I remember watching an interview of him, that there have been assassination attempts on him. So people...
His own cha-cha tried to kill him, man.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, surprisingly, he got away. Like, if you look at Indira, she never got away. But these assholes...
I remember watching an interview with Kuldeep Brar, and he was saying that... he doesn't regret the attack on Harmandir Sahib because, you know, he was carrying out orders. Like, to him, it was so black and white. I was shocked. I mean, that's, to him, it's just like, you know, he was just carrying out orders and being, a servant to his nation. But
he's the Dilsoft crew, bro. Like the audio I just showed you, that guy saying, Pakki Yari Guru Nanak and all, right?
Right.
These are the type of guys that you transplant that guy during Mughal times, right? Like this Pakki Yari Tadriyali fucking Chilla. you transplant this motherfucker to the Mughal times. The Mughals approach, he's the first one converting because he's saying, Jalla, Allahu or Satana Vaheguru, same shit, right? Then he's going to be the one hunting down Gursikhs, guaranteed.
Yeah.
So KP Brar's in that same fucking thing. Because he thinks he's being true to himself or true to his dharma or whatever by following orders. That's the shit. Gursikh only follows orders of his guru sahab or whatever guru sukham is, whatever guru said.
When I see these videos of these, I guess the appropriate term is maybe, you know, I don't know if the appropriate term is extremist Hindus, but these groups, these Hindu groups that want to abolish Sikhi. There is so much hate, you know, for the Sikhs. And my honest belief is they obviously see Sikhs as a threat, you know, because they wouldn't do that without having that belief. There's some insecurity there that they think Sikhs are a major threat to them. And you've seen the videos yourself. They're kind of terrifying when you see them like at these rallies. They're very similar to these Nazi rallies. It's crazy. Like these videos pop up on TikTok or Twitter sometimes, but you know, just the way they conduct themselves, it's very Nazi-like and it's terrifying.
That's the thing. Like, so the RSS, what it stands for, was basically a hardcore Hindu group. They basically take their ideology from Nazism, one race, one religion, right? Exactly, yeah. So. What was I going to say? Yeah. So basically they have that type of mentality where they'll, if it comes down to it, they will arm up and kill anybody who's not Hindu. So like all these, you see these Sikhs who are like, you know, Congressy or these different political groups or, you know, they're freaking communist or whatever. When it comes down to it, you know, when they were killing Sikhs in Delhi during that time, they didn't ask what your affiliation was with what party. They just killed you.
Yeah.
So all these like jumps in.
If you had a kara on or if you had a pog, that was it. Like you're done.
That was it. They attacked. Jail Singh was the president of India. He was a sardar. They attacked his car. He was the president of India, and Hindu mobs attacked his car because he looked like a Sikh because he had a pog and a dhadi. So all these Sikhs that are like, you know, Delhi's lapdogs and like. Just jumpje and chele. Like at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, they're not going to give a shit. They're going to come and they'll burn you alive. They'll throw tires around your neck and rape your women too. They're not going to give a shit what party you're part of. You could be a BJP fucking lieutenant for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, you know that the comments that the Suri guy said that were 2%. I know he's trying to minimize, the numbers of Sikhs, sure, but you know, it doesn't really take into account just how courageous the Sikh people are, right? That 2% is just a number, but
like when it comes
like you said, you know, when he did in India of our gurus and our past saints, you know, the universe unfolded like it should, and that's what happened.
Well, when it comes down to it, right, Pame, whether you're Mona, Sardar, Amritari, whatever, when shit hits the fan within the Panth, everybody gets together.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you look at, for example, like Jinda Sukha, when they were doing their stuff, popping people, popping, you know, the politicians who organized the November 84 killings and Vaidya, who was the general who planned the attack on the Barsab. You know, they were Munne when they were doing that, right? That's how they could get around and stuff. So when it comes down to it, like that's why when we see like people with haircuts or whatever, you know, they feel a darda the panth too. Like they have that love for Maharaj too and Guru Sahib too, right? They're not like the lolo with the tardani out of here saying that pukki yari doesn't matter. They know like for example when I was Munne, I knew. Look, at the end of the day, the end goal is to become a Singh or take Amrit one day, right? We respect Guru Gobind Singh Ji's hukam, right? And all the shahidiyan for this sroop that we have, right? I would say vast majority of Munne are like that. Then you have that the loud minority who just likes to spew just a bunch of bullshit just out of like drunken rage or whatever. I don't know whether the fuck it is. They just go on TikTok and they just like just spew shit. And they're Punjabi and they come from Sikh families. It's like you would you ever see like a Muslim say shit about like their own prophet or the Quran? Like you never see that.
Oh no, never. Yeah, that goes back to what we were saying. Like even you know, even the Muslims who may not be that religious, they don't do ninde of their own faith. Like they're you know, like even creating an image of Muhammad, it's like, you know, people, they don't even try. They wouldn't. Like, nobody does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's where, I mean, we can, you know, look at other people's stuff and other people from other religions and then how they act. Like, we could, you know, Sikhs could pick up on some things too, man. I think, and we're going to talk about this a lot in the podcast and in future episodes, how the left-wing liberalism has really seeped into Sikhi, and it's like, oh, as long as your heart is clean, that's all good. Yeah, well, you know, tell that to Bhai Daru Singh Ji who got fucking scalped alive.
No, you know what? Like, over the years, I've been convinced, like, 100% that, you know, for you to call yourself a Sikh, you have to take Amrit and you got to follow Gurmat, right? You can't be on the other side. That's why I say I'm not a true Sikh. I may have been born in a Sikh family, but part of my goal here is to try to become a better Sikh every day, right? So, you know, for those listeners that are on the path still, I hope they, you know, they get that from this. That, because, yeah, I mean, I was born into a Sikh family and, you know, there's some Amritdhari Sikhs in my family, but I'm of the belief that you can't just be a Dilsaf person, that, oh, I'm a good person, so I'll make it to, you know, such kind of heaven. In my opinion, you know, you got to follow a path and actually stick to it. You can't just have, you know, your feet in two different boats and just do, you know, I'll be a good person in this sense when it benefits me. You know, I'll go to the Gurdwara on Sundays once in a while. I'll do bark sometimes and I'll eat meat and drink once in a while. To me, I'm convinced now that you can't, if your goal is to get to such kind, and maybe we'll do a separate show on this, G, but if your goal is to actually get mukti and escape from this world and you're born into a Sikh family, my belief now is that you actually have to take Amrit and follow Gurmat 100%, if that's your goal. Hey, if you're okay with coming back a few times and you like this world and you like living life, then, you know, be a Dilsaf person. And you might, you know, based on your karma, you might be born into a decent family. But, you know, if your goal is to never come back and get it done right, and get that mukti that everybody, you know, that people want, my belief is that you do have to take Amrit and actually follow Gurmat every day.
Yeah, and the gamble is with coming back, who knows, you might come, if you do some fucked up shit, you might come back as a fucking animal, man.
Right, exactly, right? So,
right, that's the thing, is if you're given the human life now and you're given the opportunity to partake in Sikhi, that's a big blessing. Guru Sahib is obviously wanting you to be close to him, but we're the one that pushes Guru Sahib away. Right. We create the walls between us and Guru, and Maharaj never backs away from us. We back away from the Guru, right? But if we take step towards Maharaj, Guru Sahib always takes steps towards us, like a loving father. Their arms are always open for us to go back, right? We just have to, again, another thing people ought to say, oh, Hajit get pani hoi or whatever. They said, oh, I haven't gotten blessing. Well, you know, like Sikhi is a doer religion. You have to act. Like when Abdali attacked Harmandir Sahib, Baba Deep Singh Ji now was a Mahapurkh Brahm Gyani. They could have just sat in Samadhi. They would have been okay.
Yeah.
But they picked up the khanda and they vanguard everybody to say, let's go fight. Now, anybody more... at that time, nobody had more knowledge about Sikhi, about Gurmat, everything. You know, Guru Granth Sahib, Santeya, everything. Baba Deep Singh Ji was basically the top at that time. Everybody respected Baba Deep Singh Ji as a Mahapurkh Brahm Gyani, right? But even then, right, even though Baba Deep Singh Ji was given such a big, you know, title at that time, they still did the nitty gritty grassroots thing by going pin to pin to be like, yo, let's go.
Yeah.
There's actions that are needed, right? So sometimes you have to act. All the tools are there, right? It's like you're going to build something and you have a pile of bricks and you got cement there and everything. You have all the tools right there laid out too. And you're just going to think, oh, I haven't had to get up by it.
That's so funny. But, you know, we were talking about how somebody went to Baba Nansingji and was basically saying the same thing. You know, I haven't had Kirpa yet. You know, please give me Nam. And Baba Nansingji was like, you know, you're acting like Nam is something that I can just pick off a tree and give to you, right? And they're basically saying, like, how much, you know, how much Bandagi have you done? How much Moonwantar have you done, right? That just goes to your point that, you know, it's you got to take action and do things, right? It's not given to you.
And that's why, like Maharaj Guru Nanak Dev Ji, you know, like the householder lifestyle, like Grish Jeevan, right? Maharaj never agreed with, you know, the yogi lifestyle of going to the mountains and stuff. He says you have to live within society, right?
Yeah.
So that basically that entails a lot of action that you need to do.
Yeah.
You need to deal with Kaljug. You need to deal with all this shit. You can't just go into the forest.
You know, that's interesting. That's something that sometimes, like, I think we all grapple with is, like, how do you find that balance between living this life of a householder but still being exposed to all these, you know, the five vices, right? Some, you know, I guess to some of us, it'd be so easy. Okay, if I want to escape the five vices, I'll just live in a forest, right? But I think, you know, I remember watching this video and to summarize what they were saying is, like, if you can conquer the five vices while still being immersed in this jivan, that's true conquering the five vices, right? Because what happens is if a lot of people go, they live like a recluse. As soon as they come back into this civilization, they're consumed by the five, you know, the five evils, right? So it's not, you're not truly conquering it.
You know what it reminds me of, man?
What?
Those kids that go to castle school and then they go to regular high school and they just go freaking crazy, man.
All these fucking Costa school kids I went to PM. You know what's funny? Oh my god, I might rattle some cages here, but I remember talking to a former prince. Oh man, I don't know if I should say this.
Oh no, say it.
I was talking to this former principal of PM, and this is the principal of fucking like this high school, and she's like, the most corrupt kids came from Costa school, unfortunately, which is like sad, and I was shocked. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of great kids come out of Khalsa school, right? But for some reason, that you know, the highest rate of suspensions were Khalsa school kids.
No, there's a problem there. We'll get into that in other episodes too. But there is a problem. Like, we're gonna be straight up. Fucking Khalsa school has fucking problems too. I mean, it's great that they teach Gurmat and all that shit, but there's a certain way to do it, especially with Western kids, and they kind of drop the ball on that shit.
Yeah, there's controversy with Khalsa school just inherently with its, you know, with its past leadership group, right? Which maybe we'll get into other episodes, but yeah, I mean.
He got shot recently, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's gone. Like, he's out. But damn.
Yeah, we'll get into that in other episodes, but yeah, there is a problem there. And then we'll also talk about that the derogatory term gyani.
Look, I've always viewed that term as very disrespectful. Like, I don't know, people throw it around, but like that term is like very specific to, you know, I don't even think I would say that to an actual priest. You know, I just use generic babaji if I have to say it, but
what about Gurmukho? Say Gurmukho. Yeah, even when I was Monna, man, like, I never used that term Gyani because...
I wouldn't dare. I just think it's disrespectful.
Because when I think of, like, a singer or whatever, even, like, back then, even now, like, you know, it's like that's Guru Gobind Singh Ji's Sroop. And, like, it's sad that even, like, when people wear pugs and they when they dance, they put, like, the bottle on their pug or whatever. Yeah. Or they'll go to clubs with the pug on, or strip clubs will go with the pug on, and they'll like harass women with their pug on. Like, it's like you're representing something, man. Yeah. And you sometimes that those derogatory terms, sometimes people say that because people act like idiots too.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh, fucking Gyani, he did this, he did that. Right. He grabbed my ass or whatever. And then that's what it's like, now you're acting like a fucking derogatory term, Gyani, then. If you act like a good, like a, somebody with respect, and you talk with people with respect, whatever, people are not going to call you Yanni, man.
Or even the, like, okay, let's just say, you know, people in their, you know, personal work, they defraud, you know, they fraud people, or they do Nindya, or, you know, just always causing a ruckus, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, you know, that's where, you know, out of, maybe it's just out of, you know, in the heat of the moment, they'll just say Gyani, but it's that term has now become kind of derogatory to describe those types of people.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's just thrown about now. Like, would you ever call Guru Gobind Singh again? Like, would you call Sant Pindrani again? Like, you wouldn't fucking do that shit. Like, have respect for the Sarup, right?
Yeah. Yeah, never. But moving forward, so, you know, we're going into, you know, November, December here. There's going to be some important, like some critical dates in Sikh history. December is you know, arguably one of the, you know, the biggest and most important months in our itihas. Explain why.
Because Jesus was born.
Oh, well, yeah.
We have a good form coming up.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Hey, we should have a national holiday, man. Like, if we're celebrating Jesus's, you know, birthday, that's like it's literally like a month long celebration. I don't know. We should have something of our own people, man.
Well, that's the thing. If we had our thing is Sarpanch, if we had our own Raj, we could do that, right? Like in Punjab, it would be a national holiday. Like obviously, with these Christian countries, they're all based on Christianity, so you can't really.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we have like a heritage month, that's good enough, man. Like, well, what the fuck are we? These Gora are gonna be like, who the fuck is this, right? So, you know, we live in Christian based countries, so just what it is, right? But like, for example, if we had our own Raj in Punjab, it would be a complete holiday, and then even during Christmas time, people wouldn't be focused so much on presents and trees. People would be focused on the Shidi and the Sabjad.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that's sad with our younger generation in the Western world, and even the older generation. Like, during Christmas time, like, people are so crazy partying, doing this and that, bhangra, this and that. But man, that time of the year, a lot of qurbaniya happen. Like, imagine somebody giving up their whole family for you, and you're too busy getting drunk and drinking and wearing Christmas sweaters. Nothing against celebrating Christmas, putting trees up or whatever. That's all good. Enjoy that too with your kids and family, right? That's what we do too. I'm not gonna lie, right? But at the same time, we focus on the Sabjad day too, like big time.
But you know, that's the thing, you mentioned it, that during Christmas time we become so consumed with, you know, consumerism and all this. Christmas, it's a busy time. And unfortunately the timing is such that you tend to forget that this is such an important month. You know, it's about the Sabjad day and what happened to them and how they were freezing cold. Up in that the Buddha, right?
Yeah,
people forget that, but it's an important time for sure.
It is, man. Like, what Guru Gobind Singh did, that sacrifice, the world will never be able to get back again.
Yeah,
and we just chuck it out on the side of the curb, like we don't give a fuck. And it's sad, right? Because even your own parent wouldn't give up their kid, like your sibling, for you. And Maharaj basically gave his four sons, his whole family, everything he had for us.
You know, what I got to say about our gurus is that they held themselves accountable. They held their own families accountable, which you just never see in our communities now. Like,
mm-hmm.
You look at our itihas, right? Guru Har
Rai, like
Guru Har Rai Sahib, excommunicated his own son for misquoting Guru Nanak Dev Ji's Bani, right? And excommunication, whether it's back then or today, that's like the ultimate punishment. And, you know, Guru Nanak Dev Ji, instead of giving the guruship to his own sons, he gave it to Bhai Lerna, because at the time he thought Bhai Lerna was a more appropriate person. So, you know, when people think of the entire Panth instead of just their own sons, you know, that's a true stand-up person. And you don't see that in today's, you know, communities with our people. So that's why I admire our guru so much, that they were stand-up men, 100%.
Yeah, and Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji gave their seats for another term.
Exactly. Like, these are true stand-up people. Like, we're like, It's unbelievable when you hear these stories. It is just, it's amazing. It's incredible. There's no other way to put it. There is no other way to describe how great our gurus were in our, like, they set the path for people like us. And if we can even just try to be 1% of them, you know, that'd be pretty incredible. But, you know, but we're not, right? We just, all we can do is try.
We're so engrossed with singers and actors and actresses and all that shit.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing.
So we've got some important dates coming up in December. We've got Gurpab. We've got, Shahidi of the Sab Jade.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that moving forward? Yeah.
So coming up right now, I think we've got, I think by the time this podcast is posted, I think Gurpab will be done. But the Guru Nanak Dev Ji's Gurpurb and stuff. So, you know, that day is a special day for us, you know. It's, you know, make your houses bright, you know, celebrate with your families, do some sort of pot, whatever you can do, man. Listen to Kirtan, do something, man. Guru Nanak Dev Ji, the Akal Purkh themselves, came on this earth to bless us, and they bless us with Sikhi. You know, they're the creator. They gave us everything. You know, you're born, say, for example, you're born in a good family or in the Western world, you know, you're comfortable and all that. That's all Guru's giving. That's all Guru's doing. So it all goes back to Guru Nanak Dev Ji, right? They're the ones that bestow, you know, gifts and blessings and spiritual blessings and you know, they're the ones that keep obstacles away from us, or they're the ones that give us the strength to go through obstacles. So 100%. instead of focusing on other idiots, some of these shitty ass pracharaks and like Tunda and Tardinala and that fucking New Zealand fucker, we're gonna come after all those idiots anyways. It's a lot of the TikTok idiots. Start focusing on them. You know, realize that we're lucky enough that our guru is a Akal Purkh themselves. They're not some prophet. They're not some messenger. They're not some angel. They're not some Devi Devta. They're the light of the existence themselves, and that's why their Barney is so special. That's why you should respect Barney like it's a message from Sachkhand. It's a message from Akal Purkh themselves. And when you go to Gurdwara in the Darbar Sahib, Guru Granth Sahib is Guru Nanak Dev Ji sitting there on their asana. Exactly. They're sitting there, respected that way. Go with your head bowed. When you bow down, you mata take. Imagine you're bowing down to Guru Nanak Dev Ji themselves. And when you sit there, don't look around on the opposite gender. Say, oh yeah, that person looks nice. That this and that. Well, that Baba is freaking limping or whatever. Focus on Guru Granth Sahib. Focus on Maharaj. Talk to Guru Sahib there. And if you're going through some problems, if you're going through depression or having health problems or some any hard time, you know, talk to Guru Sahib and put your work into it too, and you'll see that Guru Nanak Dev Ji will bless you. So that would be my Gurpurb message, basically.
Wonderful message. I can't say it any better myself. So you know, I'm looking forward to this process. I think it'll be good for us. It'll be good for our listeners to you know. And maybe this could be some form of save out of the people. You know, if people can get any benefit out of this, maybe they'll get some knowledge or maybe they'll get some inspiration to become better Sikhs every day. Then that's great. Then I think it's great overall for the Panth. I hope people get some sort of benefit from this.
Yeah, because we're not getting paid for this. We're not getting jack shit for this anyway. So all we want to say is, you know, excuse us for our language or whatever. This is just the way we are, the way we talk. And this is why this is a different type of podcast, right? Like if you'd rather prefer the more clean cut kind of stuff, then there's many other podcasts. For example, Basics of Sikhi is what I can think of right now. So you can always go listen there, but here we're going to be a little bit more brash, a little bit more upfront, maybe a little bit of offensive, you know, off the cuff jokes and all that stuff. And if you enjoy that, great. And if you don't, then just move on. Let's say,
yeah. Anyways, that was fun.
All right. First episode done. And with an outro, there was a little bit of technical difficulties during the Guru Har Rai Saki, so we're going to try to edit that stuff out, and we had a problem with my connection, internet connection, but other than that, first episode went good. I think with an outro, we should just do like a Dharmic song, right? Just pick a random Dharmic song and just do an outro.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So I think, let's say it's November 6th right now, so but we'll do an outro of Bhian Singh Satwan Singh popping Indira Gandhi.
Nice, okay. is that New Zealand, Baba? I just Googled it. Harnaik Singh?
Yeah, Naiki, the guy on the New Zealand on the radio there.
Oh, I gotta look this guy up. What does he say, like, weird shit?
Oh man, he doesn't freaking, like, the shit he says is so vile. And he got sliced up pretty good, like a pizza, like a freaking pizza, man. He got sliced up by some people, but he survived.
What does he say? Does he get away from Sikhi, or does he just criticize saints? What does he do?
Yeah, he criticized saints, criticized guru, criticized Barney, Mariada, Jathebandiyan, everything, man. He criticizes everything. He says the stupidest shit. And the funny thing is he has like a crew of people that are the same callers on his show. So it seems like there's people that are calling. And majority of his listeners and people that follow him are people who hate him. So I don't understand why our people do that too. Just let him fucking, fucking do his shit. But yeah,
he's got a big following. I'm just looking him up now right now.
But majority are his haters. They want to hear what he's saying.
Yeah. Holy fuck. That's crazy. I gotta listen to him.
He's stuttering on his fucking chilla.
Okay. how did Tadrimale just get off the, like, what happened with them? Why did they suddenly, like, were they always like that?
I think, like, I don't know what happened, man, but from the beginning, he seemed off to me, man. The way he used to dress up in different barnas for different sanghats and stuff, and, like, just to get more people to come go see him, fill his golik up a little bit more. Like, he'd dress up like a taksali, he'd dress up like a kanki, he'd dress up like a nirmala, he'd dress up like a naniksar, and just to get people to come. And
you can tell.
Sorry,
you can tell he's funded big time
big time. He's funded now. Like, you can tell he's a fucking puppet, and I don't know, man. It just seemed off, and then he started shit with the Taksal, and the Taksal started to get him. They tried to shoot him. Then after that, he totally went the other way. I mean, a guy who walks around with Indian government security, he has security equivalent to a politician. You know, something's not right there, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
When he's coming to Canada, he has RCMP freaking guarding him. You know there's something wrong there. Who the hell is...
He even recruited this UK, like, this young UK...
Harinder Singh, the mouth-to-mouth Simran dude.
Yeah, okay, what happened? What's his name?
Harinder Singh.
Harinder Singh, yeah, so he recruited him. Wasn't Harinder Singh at one time, like, legit? And then now Harinder Singh and Dudley were, like, best buddies?
Well, he was always starting as Chela, right? But then once starting on, they flipped. Obviously, as the puppeteer goes, the puppet goes too, right? Yeah. And then there was, like, allegations of him doing mouth-to-mouth Simran and stuff. Like, there was, like, victims who came out and said that this guy's doing some weird-ass shit. So there's something not right in that whole fucking crew, man. Like, there's just something not right. And then we got to call that shit out, man. You can't have that. Like, they have gurus. They're wearing gurus barna and everything. You can't do that bullshit, man. Will do as fucking.
That's, yeah, this guy's a fuck in Nirver Khalsa Jatha UK. Yeah, this fucking idiot.
Yeah, they're Kirtan and stuff. They used to be good, man, like back in the day. But I don't know what once Tadrinali fucking flipped, this guy flipped too. And like those allegations, like there's allegations of him doing some fucked up shit. So mouth to mouth Simran and touching people to see if they have if they have lust or whatever, it's a cultish behavior, man. Like that shit's not allowed. Could you imagine if Santaji heard this shit, like what would happen to these fucking idiots, man?
We should do shows on these guys if we can, if you want. But
I mean, I think every show they're gonna come up, guaranteed. Yeah.
I think, right? I think we can do a dope show for, like, you know, the important December dates. Like, you can do a Saki on the Shahidi of the Sahibs. Do you want to?
Yeah, we're going to do that for sure, man.
That'd be good. I think that'll be dope.
We'll really get into, like, what was happening, because there's so many different facets, too, because there's so many Shahidi during that time, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Bhai Bajitar Singh, you know, Bhai Uday Singh, you know, there's a lot of shithing happening during that time.
Man, like, imagine how they felt. Like, first they were in Anandpur Sahib and didn't have food. Like, all their rations were basically lowering. They were promised safe passage. Then they got split up. Like, imagine the agony when you got split up. And now it's like, oh, fuck. Like just imagine, man, the agony.
Yeah, like the majority of the Sangat actually got Shaheed before they were crossing. Because the Mughals and the Pahariya Raji attacked then.
Yeah. But
so they attacked women, kids, old people. They didn't give a shit. And everybody was dealing with hunger too, right? So they didn't eat properly for 6 months. But the Singhs still fought them off. So Maharaj got to cross the Sarsa.
Yeah.
The Singhs fought him off on the Bhai Uday Singh. And his Singhs kept the Mughals at bay. But then Bhai Uday Singh got Shaheed. He was a great warrior too, man. Like, he was fucking...
Bhai Uday Singh, the one that Guru Gobind Singh, she said, you're going to come back 4 times?
Yeah. As a general in the Panth. And, you know, who knows who he was as he came back, right?
Yeah.
So, and maybe he's going to come back 1 more, 2 more times. Who knows? But, yeah. But he was such, like, a great warrior. Yeah, but I guess, like,
you know, you think of the people, you know, you think of the things that our generation complains about and the shit that they had to deal with, like,
oh my god, my latte's cold.
I know. Yeah, it's.
Oh my god, he didn't add me.
Yeah.
Oh my god, she fucking didn't message me back, bro.
We're lucky that just being born in this generation, like you said, in the West, like, we're lucky.
Yo, mom, my sweatshirt shrunk. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That kind of shit we complain about. And then you got Sabjad, the shorty Sabjad, they're getting bricked alive and they're yelling Jakari.
It's almost, I know, it's like almost embarrassing. Like, hey, yeah, I know, 100%. 100%.
It is, man. Shit on the pot, the giddard ban gaye, hun ki kariye, we're giddards, man.
Yeah.
Right? Like our ancestors, like, look at Bhai Mani Singh's family alone. I don't know, he has like 17, 18, I don't know, was Shaheed just within his family.
Yeah.
I think more, maybe 2021.
It's pretty incredible.
Right? So, and then the thing is that, you know, people, like, for example, like, I'll give an example, like Andrew Tate, like, you got a lot of Punjabi guys going towards him for masculinity. You don't need to go there, man. You don't need to go to fucking Andrew Tate. Look at our history. This is the Nayara Panth, right? So all these guys going towards these other idiots for some masculinity shit. You just need to read our history, know our history. Look at Guru Gobind Singh, look at the Sabjade, look at Baba Deep Singh, Banda Singh Bahadur. All these good, you don't need to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Man, sorry, I'm...
Who would be a good guest to have, like a unique guest on our show? Like, is there anybody, we can do it remotely, somebody can call in.
No, we'll see. We'll see as more episodes come out, who we can attract or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like.
Maybe we get freaking Nakey on here.
Imagine we invite Dungeon Wally on our show.
We pretend we're his chile and then we just fucking start blasting him.
Oh, that'd be funny.
So, anyways. We'll end the episode here. You'll have an outro of a Dharmic Geet that talks about the great day of October 31st where the Khalsa Panth sent witches back to hell. Usually the Gore say on Halloween, witches come out of hell and they walk amongst us. On the 31st of October 1984, the two Gore Sikhs, Bhai Beyond Singh, Bhai Satwan Singh, sent the witch back to hell. So from there, we'll end the episode. Thank you for listening. And Sarpanch, until next time, buddy.
Until next time. Have a good one.
All right. Bye. Take care.